Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. And starting in verse 2, the Word of God says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." This is one of the keys to a successful life as a believer. Unfortunately, it's also something that easily escapes the believer. But it is absolutely fundamental. It is key to a successful life with God as a believer. That I look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Now, that looking thing is extremely important. Because in Genesis 3 and verse 6, the Word of God tells us that the problem with the tree of knowledge, which led to death, was looking. I looked at the tree. Okay? The Word of God says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Well, she was mistaken. But she saw it. So, that which I'm looking at is going to completely transform my frame of reference. My frame of reference will serve as the premise for all my thinking. If I have the right or the wrong frame of reference, it will just as easily serve as the premise for all my thinking. This is one of the reasons why getting built up properly in the Word of God on a daily basis is so important. So that I have the right premise for proper thinking. Now, I don't strive to think right any more than I strive to think wrong. It's just the way that a person thinks. And a large component of the way that a person thinks is going to be determined by what they're looking at. So we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, that word finisher, the word author is originator. He's the one who initiates it. He's the one who sets it in motion. He's the foundation. And he's the genesis of our faith. However, the finisher is an interesting word. It's teleitos. And it means a completer and a consummator and a perfecter. Now, I understood before this the completer and the perfecter part, but he is also the consummator of our faith. He is the one that makes that faith real. He is the one that makes that faith intimate. He is the one that makes that faith personal. And he is the one that brings that faith to fruition. When something is consummated, it means that it's brought to fruition. Just like when a marriage, when a man and woman get married and the marriage is consummated, there is fruition there. The full realization of that union takes place in that consummation. Just like that, our faith is consummated, it's brought to fruition with Christ. And the full fruit and outcome of our faith come through Him. Now, how did He do this? He did it through the cross. In other words, He made the full and complete work finished in a practical, temporal, time-based manifestation. In Hebrews 4:3, that work was finished before the foundation of the world. But in Christ, I have its full consummation. Now, the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. This is part of the consummation of my faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's fascinating to me here is that word through. This word is different than most places that the King James translates as through. This word is the word en. Normally it's the word dia. But here it's the word en. And it means in, on, at, or by any place or thing. Now get this. With the primary idea of rest. That's the consummation of my faith. That I can do all things resting in Christ. Resting in the promises of God. Resting in the character of God. Resting in the faithfulness of God. I can do all things as I'm resting. This is why Psalm 23 says, you know, He causes you to lie down in green pastures. This is why the Savior said to people, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word weary is also translated as burdened. Come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what does He say? Learn of me. How do I enter into rest? I enter into rest by learning the character of God. By learning the faithfulness and the compassion, the mercy and the gentleness of God. Now, I may think to myself, because maybe I'm facing some difficulties in my life, that God is not gentle. No. The difficulty is not gentle. God is gentle. You see, the gun is not the same thing as the soldier. Okay, the hammer is not the carpenter. The hammer is not a gentle tool, but the carpenter might be. You talk to the carpenter, and the carpenter might be the sweetest, most wonderful person on the face of the earth, but he takes that hammer and boy, he can drive that nail. And that's not a gentle process, but the carpenter may be a gentle person. You see, God says, when you're facing these things, learn of me. Get to know who I really am. And in that, you will find your rest. I'm not going to find my rest when I observe my circumstances. Because quite frankly, circumstances can be brutally overwhelming. But that's not where I look. God didn't say I can find rest there. God says I find rest when I look away from those circumstances and unto the character of the only one who has the ability to change them, to deal with them. Then I find rest. I remember when I was a kid, and I tell this story sometimes because I think it's a good example. I was a little kid, and my brother was older than I am, and he was into martial arts. And you know, going home after school one day, I had some after school thing. He came get me, and this group of boys decided they wanted to beat me up, which is always fun when you have a gang on one kid. But he was confident because he was into martial arts, and he was not intimidated by these guys. And they came and they started to mess with me, and he just grabbed one of them by the throat and he asked them, "What are you doing?" Let's put it politely. Can I help you? No. God does the same thing. You see, I wasn't actually afraid of those kids. Why? Because I knew that walking next to me was somebody who could just flatten them. We are the same way. Okay, we are exactly the same way. We come unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we're with Him. And because we're with Him, we have rest. Now, my ability to deal with my circumstance, or even my spirituality to deal with my circumstance, doesn't give me any rest. Because I know very well that I don't have the ability to change anything. But God has the ability to change everything. And so when I learn His character, that He is really for me, that He really does love me, that He's patient and kind toward me, it doesn't upset Him that I can't change it. When I learn that character, that of His heart toward me, I have rest, because I know that He's there and He'll take care of it, and He'll take care of me, and He'll protect me, and He'll take care of the things He concerns me, and He'll perfect that which concerns me, and He'll just take care of the whole thing. How many little kids sweat about paying the bills? You get a little 7-year-old kid, they're very worried about paying the bills. You ever notice that? No, I haven't. When I was a little kid, I didn't know it, but we had very little money. For my parents, bills were a major issue. We lived on a shoestring budget week to week. That's how a lot of people from different countries live. But I didn't know it. I mean, all I did was turn on the light when I wanted light. I didn't think about the fact that somebody has to be there paying for this. They did, but I didn't. You see, God is saying the same thing. He says, be like that little kid, where you know that you may have a need, you know that there's something going on, but you're not worrying about it. You have rest in it, because you know that God who's there with you can take care of the whole thing, and He will. It's that simple. He will take care of it. So He says, learn of Me, and then you have rest. So when I have the author and finisher of my faith, I have the One who brings me into full rest. I may not know how to handle circumstances. I may not know the outcome, and I may not know the beginning. I may know nothing about what to do, but I don't need to. That's the thing. I don't need to know. I have One who does know, and He takes care of me. And so all these things that happen in our lives, we simply rest, because we know that the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. And He will fight this battle. That's what He told Joshua. Joshua, don't worry about it. I'm going to fight this battle. He told Israel that over and over and over. And you know when He did that? He did that. Read Judges. He did that every time that Israel asked. When did Israel start losing their battles? When they turned away. They put their hope and their confidence in something other than the Savior. And they started losing battles. They got into bondage. But as soon as they turned to Him and asked, He brought one of the judges to deliver them. And as soon as they turned and asked, He fought their battle. We're the same way. We can have complete and total rest just because we asked Him. And He comes and He fights the battle. Now, in order to do that, I turn to Him. I don't turn away from Him. I turn to Him. This is why in Numbers 21:8, the Word of God says that Moses was to make a brazen serpent And whoever looked upon that serpent, which was simply a type, a symbol of Christ, whoever looked at that serpent would live. Now, that person didn't have to change their circumstances or their ability or anything else. That person, because they looked at that serpent, God did something for that person. It wasn't that God was passive toward that person. It wasn't just, oh, don't worry about it, it'll be okay. That wasn't what was going on. As soon as they looked in the right place, God acted on their behalf. And they lived. As soon as I look to the right place, God acts on my behalf. And life enters my life, my circumstances, my situations, whatever it is that concerns me. It's a question of where am I looking. The woman Eve looked at the tree. And in looking at the tree of knowledge of good and evil in Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 3, she became very self-conscious. And she started looking at herself, and she started looking at the fact that she was naked, and she started looking at her ability, and she started evaluating things about how they looked and how she could perceive them. And she started looking, okay, I've got this, this, and this. Okay, I've got fig leaves, I'm naked, I can put together a few fig leaves. Forget Adam, he can't sew, I'm going to make some for him. Okay, and so she makes these fig leaves, and they cover themselves, but the fig leaves were not sufficient. Can you imagine walking around downtown in fig leaves? What do you think the police would say? Fig leaves are not sufficient. We should get a t-shirt. Fig leaves are not sufficient. But can you imagine that? But isn't that what we do sometimes? We try to evaluate by circumstance. Okay, if I can get it to go this way, it'll work out for me. But there's no rest in that. And maybe you're even right about the strategy or the detail or you know, the decision. But there's no rest in that. But as soon as the Savior came, before He did anything else, He covered them. When He finally got them to look at Him, He covered them. He didn't stay passive or indifferent. He initiated an action and He did something for them. Why? Because they looked at Him. Whatever I'm looking toward, that's what I'm conscious of. Whatever I'm looking towards, that's what I'm conscious of. So I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and I become very conscious of the disposition, the character, the promises, the nature of God. Because I'm looking at Him. But as soon as I start looking at the storm that's raging around me, I start to feel like I'm sinking. Now, mind you, Peter did not sink. He only felt like he was going to sink. I know it says he started to sink, but he didn't sink. How do I know he didn't sink? Because immediately Jesus caught him. But he felt like he was starting to sink. Why? Because he wasn't looking at the Savior anymore. He was looking at his storm. What are you looking at? Are you looking at a need? Are you looking at a want? Are you looking at a fear? Are you looking at a hope? What are you looking at? Whatever it is, that's what you're going to be conscious of. And you may say, it's not wrong to think of hope, to look at hope. Yeah, well, the hope isn't going to do it for you. When I look at hope, what I hope for, then I become very occupied with the thing that I hope for. And that can produce anxiety in my heart. Because that reflects back to me the fact that I have no ability to achieve it. But when I look at the Savior, something about that looking at God, looking at Jesus, causes Him to act on my behalf. And so He says, learn of Me, look at Me, learn of Me, get to know who I am, and I will give you rest. Sit right there. I'll give you rest. And I will, in the process, take care of your circumstance. Why? Because, folks, God's always fought our battles. How many of you would even be saved if it were not for God initiating something to you? God always fights your battles. How many people have had to have their circumstances arranged in ways that they didn't even know? How many of you knew what you needed before you got saved in order to get saved? What needed to happen? Not one of us. And yet God arranged all those things anyway. He's not going to stop just because I'm a believer now. Okay, I arranged everything to bring you into the kingdom, and now I'm going to leave you to figure it out for yourself. It's not how it works, foolish Galatians. No. He is the author and the consummator, bringing it into full and complete fruition. And He gives me rest. Folks, that's how it works. You get in a storm and you say, God, I'm going to sink. And God says, you're not going to sink. Stop looking at the storm. That simple. It only feels like you are. But it's because you're looking in the wrong place. Now, here's the other thing. He's the author and finisher of our faith. That means pistis in the original language. Faith. It's an assurance. It's a confidence. It's a conviction of realities unseen in Hebrews 11:1. It's an assurance, a confidence, and a conviction. He brings to fruition my assurance and my confidence and my conviction when I look unto Him who is the author and finisher of my faith. But it really is all that I am looking at. See, in Genesis 3:10, when I'm looking at something else, even though I may hear the voice of God, I'm going to be afraid. But when I look at Him, I stop being afraid. And in the process of not being afraid, of having that confidence, God will then bring into fruition that which I'm confident in. In other words, He'll manifest His faithfulness. He'll manifest His mercy. He'll manifest His grace. He'll manifest His power. He'll manifest that which I desire from Him. It's really pretty simple. When the Word of God says no weapon can formed against you that is formed against you can prosper, right? No weapon that is formed against you can prosper. Consider something. What weapon did Satan form against the Savior? What weapon did he form? Well, he flogged him so that he would shed blood. That didn't work in Satan's favor. He crucified him so that he could kill him. That didn't work in Satan's favor. What happened with Paul? Well, a lot of where Paul started churches and a lot of the epistles that he wrote and a lot of the people that he won to Christ were as he was a prisoner. And the weapon that was formed against him could not prosper. Folks, the very weapon that Satan tries to use against you, God will use to bless you. Satan tried to use a cat of nine tails to hurt the Savior? The blood is what cleanses me from my sins. Satan tried to kill him on a cross? The cross is my redemption. The very thing that the enemy tries to throw against you is the very thing that God is going to turn around and make it work in your favor. It's just like Haman's gallows. The very gallows that Haman tried to build to kill Mordecai was the very thing that resulted in Mordecai being promoted and Haman being eliminated. Remember, if anybody sets a snare against you, they will fall in it. It's a promise from God. So no weapon that's formed against you can prosper. God will turn it and use it in your favor. Why? Because He loves you. Because He's on your side. Because you are the beloved. Not the enemy. And so I can have complete rest simply by getting to know His character. When I know that character, my situation may be terrifying, but it won't scare me because I know that right there is my God. And He can take care of and will take care of everything for me. Amen.